did it.
We tried to do this at lunch last week. No, we're not.
We just said we are. No, we're doing it.
Meow, 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 meow.
All right.
Everybody needs
we're
to hear this intro twice.
The podcast now.
Well, since we're editing, I'm just going to edit. It's fine.
No, I think we should leave it in two times.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Stand By Moments podcast. This is your hosts, Jeremiah Bullfrog LeCompte and
Maggie. Just Maggie.
Just Maggie. And we have the Miss Producer.
What's up?
Hello. How's it going today?
To our listeners, we're all over the place today.
It's after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, means we're done. We're just done. We're baked.
We should basically just go home
on a Monday.
I promise, I've not done any cocaine. I don't even know what that stuff looks like.
Well, that's good.
But I'm baked.
Is that? I don't think those go together.
No. Oh, being baked and crack cocaine?
Yeah.
Do you want me to fact check that?
Yeah.
Work computer. I should look it up.
Let us know, Whitney.
Which work computer? Because it could be acceptable. But...
True. That is very true.
Yeah. I mean, I've never, I guess, baked like a brownie.
All right. We'll move on past this. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I'm doing great.
Seems like it.
How are you today?
I'm fine. Just slow day. It's a Monday, so not the best day of the week, but it could be.
Monday's a great day. It's the beginning of the week. Technically, Sunday's the beginning of the week.
Anything new happening?
Yeah, lots of things. I'm parenting my children this week, solo. Fathering my kids.
It all makes sense now. I forgot that was happening.
I mean, Corey was here this morning.
She was. So.
Yeah, but...
Listen, it's going to be a great week. I'm a rock star. Mm-hmm. It's going to be... Corey was all nervous earlier.
Picture day is tomorrow.
Did Corey pick out their clothes?
No. Corey, in fact, she took a picture of... I guess the teacher took... Because it's like Dr. Seuss week this week for Obi. And Corey sent me a picture of like all their dress-ups. And I'm like, that's funny. I hope he's going to show up one time. And he will have clothes on. That's good enough.
No Dr. Seussness.
And Corey's all worried about Charlie's picture day. And I'm like, we don't even buy the pictures. What's it matter? Apparently it's like for a yearbook, but we're not buying that either. So what does it matter?
I thought they just get the yearbook.
No, you had to buy it. No, whenever I was in school, you had to buy the yearbook.
Give me a break. Nothing's free in this life.
That's true.
It's public school.
You don't have to pay for the air you breathe. It's called taxes.
Screw them.
Yeah, screw you guys.
No, that...
Stick it to the man.
Them was taxes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We're sticking it to the man. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a good day. It's been a slow day. Yeah, I agree. Like, lots of meetings today. I say a lot. Like, one long meeting. And then I had another meeting. I did go get adjusted today. That is what's new. Friday, I went to the chiropractor, and it really hurt. So, when I went on vacation a couple weeks ago, I took a nasty spill on the mountain.
You told us about
it. Yeah.
The crater.
Yeah, the crater. Left. Yeah. And my shoulder has not been good since. And so... Friday, I was like, dude, I got to do something. So I went to the chiropractor and was there. They're trying to adjust me, and I wouldn't adjust because I'm just so tight everywhere. And so he's like, hey, man, I think you need a massage. And I'm like, say no more. Now, I couldn't determine if he was just upselling me because they offer massages now or if he legitimately felt like I needed this massage, but I didn't need to know the motives. I just needed the orders. So thankfully, Corey was on board. And she got me an appointment in town for Friday afternoon. And
Corey's your KM.
She is my KM.
That'll come later in the podcast.
KM, I mean, it fits. And so she helped me get an appointment, and I went, and it was bomb. Gosh, it was so good. Best massage I've ever had in my life. I've had several.
It was crazy because he called me Friday.
Yeah,
I was
guess
busy.
What? She didn't call me back.
I was busy.
Doesn't matter.
Auditions.
Yeah.
And so I.
She told us that she was going to be busy.
I didn't know.
Jeremy did. You were sending texts all weekend. Jeremy did not know what was going on.
I had no idea. That's why I put a question mark. Like, what do you mean? Did like, everything go well?
And he never explained.
No, y'all just left me hanging. I was like, maybe it was a private thing.
Because we had already told you.
Yeah. No, Whitney all weekend was like, how's it going? Is it good? And I'm like, yeah, it's going great. Jeremy's like, what's going great? And we just never explained it to him.
Never did. I just thought, well, maybe it's private. I don't know.
But he called.
Which is why I put it in the group text. Yeah.
He called me, and so I didn't answer. It was in the middle of auditions, and I didn't call him back. So yesterday I asked him, I said, hey, you called me Friday. What did you call me about? And he was like, I got a really good massage. I was like, why would I have cared about that?
Well,
he was like, you should go to this place. It's really good. And I was like, I have a girl. She's really good.
Well, you never shared it with me, dang it.
I did.
I do. Jeremy, we're off on Fridays. Yeah. So, which is fine. Most people take time to rest. Not Jeremy, though. So Jeremy will either find jobs to do or call everybody on his favorites.
That's not wrong.
Which is, because, like, I'm just realizing he called me to tell me about his massage. Now I'm wondering who else he called to tell about his massage.
Who else did he tell the massage to?
I called Corey. I'll let her know.
We're the wives, the three of us.
I don't claim that.
You
I
don't have
not
to claim it.
It's just the three wives.
Just part of
the gig. But Amanda's
part of
the
gig.
Favorite. She's
she did cook me brownies last night.
Of course she
not
did.
Not me, though. But she's moved on to Dobes. Dobes is...
No.
Yeah, he's worth cooking brownies
We've
for.
We've all moved on to Dobes.
Yeah. So that's what's new for me. My massage was bomb.
Are
it
you
was
gonna
so
go
good.
Again?
Yeah, I need to sit down. Sorry. I need to sit down and evaluate my budget and figure out how I can make that happen at least once a month.
Coffee or massage? What do you think it's gonna be, people?
They're both important.
Did you go back to the chiropractor?
This morning.
And was he able to adjust you?
He was. And I adjusted real good.
Nice. Nope. Good deal.
It was.
I'm very happy for you.
So that's where I was today. That's what I did today. It was an eventful day. And I ate peanut butter sandwich for lunch.
Was it out of the jar that's been sitting on your desk for about 2 years now?
No, I think I finally got rid
Talking
of that.
Talking about that, did I sit y'all, did you watch the video that I sent? I
can't watch it on my phone.
The whole Ted Lasso cast went to the Screen Guild Awards,
mm-hmm.
and they all wore the tracksuit of the football
Richmond
league, of Richmond.
Richmond till we die. Richmond till we die.
Yeah, they were all just like dancing in their tracksuits.
That's amazing.
All like 20 of them.
I want to be a part of it. Oh, that's so,
so good.
That's what I feel like it is working at the Bayou sometimes.
That's why we all match.
Yeah. Thank you, Amanda. That's amazing. That is so
Did they win
so
anything?
Bomb.
I do not know.
They won Community of the Night.
For everybody who doesn't know, Ted Lasso is a great show. Everybody should watch it.
On Apple TV?
On Apple TV.
If you don't have it, sign up for 3 months. You can watch all three seasons.
Yep.
Yeah.
For free. For free.
No, you'll leave happier than whenever you started watching Amen. That movie.
Currently rewatching it for the fifth time.
Hmm.
I'm so excited about it.
I haven't rewatched it at all, but I enjoyed it the first time.
I rewatched season 1 and 2. I haven't rewatched season 3. Season 3 made me tear.
Yeah. Once you know how it's ending, you see the full story a lot better. I will say
you're
that.
Good. You're good at that. I can't read a book and watch a movie. Can't do it. So, I do have some news. Guys, ready for this? I haven't shared with you off air.
I'm so scared. What?
I'm going to Blake Shelton this week.
Oh my god.
I'm going to watch a Blake Shelton concert. I'm so excited.
Is Gwen Stefani going to be there?
I don't care.
I don't enjoy
Two guys been around that block. Because it ain't no Hollaback Girl.
You're singing Gwen Stefani.
I was like, that's not a Blake Shelton song.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like Blake Shelton, so.
You don't like country. You don't like America.
Whoa. What?
Country is the backbone of America.
No.
JD would agree.
No. Do you want me to call him and ask him that?
No.
I'm going to call him.
No.
Do it. And then Jamie would get mad that we didn't call Jamie.
I'm gonna call
I think Jamie would also disagree with this statement, to be honest.
Watch. I'm going to call him and his answer is going to be, what? Because that's
who do we know that works there? Give me backstage.
Wait, where is it?
JD.
The Cajun Dome.
Hey.
JD, you're on speakerphone.
You're on speakerphone on the
Standby Moments podcast.
But what do you, I don't know how I should ask that question.
JD, country music is by far the backbone of America. Do you agree?
That country music is the backbone of America?
Yeah, without country music, music wouldn't exist as in at all.
I think that is a dumb sentence.
I'm going to edit this part out. JD, we didn't need that negativity. Yeah. In this.
Well, I mean, I'm just factually, I think that was just dumb.
Okay, we're done. Bye.
Bye. So, yeah, I told you JD would not agree with that statement.
Well, he, you know, she just left me hanging, man.
Yeah, because it was not a factual statement.
Okay, speaking of factual statements, we have a really good podcast today. Our BFF KM is making, is showing up.
I told you it was going to become a thing.
If you're wondering who KM is, well, just stay tuned. You'll hear him in just a moment. But he's a really good friend of ours. We love him so much. We had a lot of good times talking with him today about what his KMNism is. KMNism.
It's his job. Yeah.
He is the KM for
You'll
the KMs.
You'll understand more once you listen to the rest of the podcast.
But he's a dear friend. We actually tried to do this a year ago, and somebody sitting in this room deleted the podcast. Not naming any names,
and
JD.
Two of these people in the room don't ever touch the audio of this podcast.
Well, and we haven't learned our lesson yet. Thankfully, he loves us and did it again, though. So, well, we're really excited about this podcast, and we hope you guys enjoy it. And you're going to be listening to the podcast in 3, 2, 1.
All right. We're starting the podcast now.
All right. Now that we got that out of the way.
Both of my ears work now, and it hurts so bad.
Well, I forgot to press record on Logic when I did that, so.
Well, should we redo it?
No.
Are you recording on your computer?
I am now, yeah.
So you didn't get that?
I got most of it.
So we're going to have half of an intro song.
Doesn't matter, because we're going to intro the intro.
I don't.
Kieran.
Hi, Kieran.
Am I allowed to speak yet?
Yeah, we're going to do this reverse.
Are you guys, you know you can just take the song and, you can edit the show after you record it.
Let me tell you a secret, Kieran. Do you know how we've gotten the success we've gotten the last couple months? We don't edit anything.
I guess I don't know about the success that y'all have gotten.
This is actually, yeah, we're kind of a big deal. We even have someone who wants to sponsor, okay? But more important,
thanks, Mom.
More importantly, Kieran, we have been on a roll with releases because we are just recording and then popping that thing out and right on the internets.
No quality control.
No quality control. No editing
control.
That's right. That's right. And so
people have said that they can't keep up because we're doing so well.
We're doing such a good job.
I'm certainly not up to date.
Well,
we'll forgive you. I guess
we know you'll catch up on this one.
Yeah, for sure. I only listen to podcasts that I'm in. So this will be the first podcast I've ever listened to.
Maybe the second.
It could be two.
I mean, I've stumbled across that file a couple times of just my voice and wondered if I should throw that away because it's obviously useless.
It's just
I had recorded the Zoom.
It's just you talking to yourself.
No, I had recorded the Zoom of all of it, and I sent it to y'all like twice.
I found
never did anything.
I found the partial recording, the one before you had to go put your dogs away, and then we forgot to record the second version of it.
For all of our listeners, we have done this interview before about a year ago, almost to the.
It was literally last February.
Yeah,
and
then yeah. Jeremy deleted it. Just wiped it.
Just throw me right under the bus?
Well, there's no other way to say it.
Jeez, you could have made the blow could have been a little softer.
There's no other way to say it.
How do you feel about that, Kieran?
I mean, I don't have any strong feelings about it. I think, you know, second time we'll skip all the boring stuff and we'll just get all the stuff that wasn't that interesting to hear or say, and we'll just get straight to the good stuff.
It was a rehearsal, per se.
Sure.
Yeah.
With a year of runway.
Yeah, it wasn't like we picked up the next week and redid it.
For all of our listeners, this has been a year in the making. Year in the making. We even had Kieran here with us.
Yeah, and we didn't
and
do this.
Couldn't manage to do this.
That's true.
Wow. Either we are just crazy busy or our time management is crazy awful.
Well, not mutually exclusive.
Mm-mm.
Very true.
Thanks. All right. Well, Maggie, take it away. What are we doing today?
Yeah, I made a list today.
Okay.
Well, we're just going to start out with an introduction. I mean, we know who Kieran is. We've been talking to him for 4 minutes now, and we haven't introduced him. So, Kieran, hello. This is Kieran. He's our friend. He's also a tour manager currently, lives in LA. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, my name's Kieran. I'm friends with Jeremy and Maggie and Whitney, currently a tour manager, and I live in LA.
Nailed it.
I knew after I finished that that's what's going to be the response.
That's so good. I love you, Kieran.
No, but do you have any more that you could tell us about yourself?
Sure, of course. Well, as far as my work goes, I try not to call myself an anything. I don't say, hi, I'm Kieran, I'm a tour manager. Although I do say that sometimes because it's easier than trying to explain, like, that I do a few different things. But I may also sometimes have the title production manager or front of house engineer or monitor engineer or playback tech or music director or tour director sometimes now even. But I just kind of float in between those roles and jobs as I feel like it seems right to me. I'm lucky that I get to kind of pick the work that I want to do and say no to the work that I don't want to do. And
That's a great feeling.
My titles shift a lot, so I just go by Kieran most of the time. That kind of covers it.
That's good.
Hi, I'm Kieran. What do you do for me? I do Kieran things.
I mean, I work for a few different artists that have the same management, and they've stopped like naming my roles. They just because a lot of in the touring industry, a lot of the roles, the second letter is M, like manager. So you have like your TM, tour manager, PM, production manager, SM, stage manager. You know, but so they've just started calling it KM because that's also my initials.
Manager. You're a kitchen manager.
That's awesome.
Well, that's good. What are you currently working on? Where are you in the world?
I am in Atlanta right now. I woke up here. I was in Orlando when I went to sleep. I'm currently on tour with an artist called JP Sachs, and I am just the tour manager. I only have one title. One of the few tours I've done where I just have one title and no slash marks in my name. So just the tour manager. We have a production manager. We have audio engineers and everything else we need. But at the last moment, they realized that they needed a tour manager also. So they called me and asked if I could do it. And I said, yes, I can do it.
Dang. Nice. That's awesome. That's like a next level kind of step for you, isn't it?
It's interesting for sure. I'm still figuring out what I like and don't like about having one title and what I like and don't like about exclusively tour managing, because it really means I don't have anything to do with the show. The show itself is not my responsibility. You know, I get the artist onto stage. I usually make sure he's got water on stage and maybe a stage towel. And then I make sure he comes off stage at the end of the show. But that kind of hour and a half or 2 hours some nights, as it happens to be, has nothing to do with me.
That's nice.
It's or different.
Not, depending on how you feel about it.
It's different. I like doing shows, so I kind of miss that. But I like the team that we have, so I don't have to, you know, I'm not a micromanager by any means, so I don't feel the need to involve myself in places outside of my role.
Mm. That's good. Your sister's there with you?
Yeah, my sister is the production manager, so she's also mixing monitors. So she is basically in everything that I'm not responsible for, meaning everything to do with the show, she is responsible for. And also making sure that what the band hears sounds good. That's her world for this tour. She was hired onto this tour at least a month or two before I was. I actually came in to replace another tour manager, so based on her glowing recommendation.
Oh, shit.
That's nice. How long have you been? Have y'all been doing this? A month now, or?
Yeah, the first show was January 27th, so we started rehearsals around January 10th in LA. Did a couple weeks of rehearsals, and then started the tour in Edmonton, Canada, and then have made our way down here to Georgia, and then we have another month in the U.S. before we go to Europe in April.
How long will I be there?
We're gonna be in Europe for 3 weeks.
Does that mean you're not coming for Easter?
When is Easter this year? You can cut this out if that's... I honestly don't know when it is. Oh, okay, wait. Mardi Gras was...
27th and 28th.
Of March?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm... that's 2 or 3 days before my birthday. I'll be really tied up then.
Well, dang it.
Who else would you want to spend your birthday with, Kieran?
I... You know, I think I'm actually flying on my birthday this year. I think the day that we're flying to Europe is my birthday, which means that essentially my birthday will be 9 hours shorter than a normal day.
Wow.
And honestly, kind of looking forward to it.
Kieran, that's kind of sad. Do you want us to... You should pay for first class for your birthday.
I should pay for first class? It sounded like you were starting a different sentence there.
Wait, isn't Darcy's birthday around your... Says, oh no, hers is
no.
Summer.
She has she's Harry summer. Potter's birthday.
That's right. Mm. When is that, Maggie?
I don't know. I didn't read the books.
Jeremy,
that,
Harry Potter's
me.
Birthday.
I don't read books, so
no. But I did go see the Broadway show. You should go see it, Kieran. If you're in New York, go see it.
I will be in New York for about 16 hours next week.
Well, of 16, you have 3 to spare.
Of the 16, I'm working for 17 of them.
Hey, so let's sorry, I don't want to move past this too quickly. First class ticket for your birthday, right?
Yeah, you said you started to say that you were going to buy that you guys were going to buy that for me.
I
if
think
we
that's
get a sponsor.
You,
yeah.
I don't think my mom's going to pay for that.
You can't tell everybody your sponsors your mom.
I guess my appearance fee for the show
is not
going to
pay for that.
your tour people, the people you're doing tour with should advance that for you.
Well, here's the thing. The person that's in charge of how the finances run on tour is me.
Even better.
Perfect.
So if the question is, could I get away with that? Yeah, probably. If I, you know, fudged some truths, which is not really my style. Would it be financially prudent? No, absolutely not. It would be extremely irresponsible and make me look bad at my job. And
yeah,
at most costs, I try to avoid looking bad at my job whenever I can.
It's a good thing.
This is why we love you, Kieran.
I was going to ask a question before you brought it back to the thing.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know. I can move on to my next question. How did you get started doing this? You kind of, not this tour particularly, but just touring in general. You were on a different tour before this,
mm-hmm.
and many before that. So how did you get started?
Well, the one of the funny things about my touring history is that I've already retired from touring once after doing it for 2 years. So, but really, it came from being a musician and needing a job in college. And so I started getting interested in sound and mixing, and then got a job mixing at a little music venue in Lafayette. And I did that for a year and a half, and kind of that's where I learned how to mix all different kinds of bands and different kinds of music. And one of those bands that came through then called me back a few months after I had stopped working there and said, hey, we need a sound engineer for a tour. And I was still in college at the time, so I went to each of my professors and asked permission to not be in school for, I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks, and to go and do this tour instead. And each of them, some pretty reluctantly and some enthusiastically, said yes, just keep up with your schoolwork. So then I went out and did some shows with that band that was called Royal Teeth, and toured with them for most of 2016 and 2017. And from there, kind of, it's a very word of mouth kind of industry. So I got asked to do a couple other tours with some different artists in 2017. And when I was with Royal Teeth, the drummer was kind of their tour manager, but he had to study for the bar. He's now an entertainment attorney in Nashville. And so I was like, hey, I'll help take on some of this tour management responsibility. I'll help, you know, settle the shows and make sure the merch gets sold properly and make sure the venues know what we're bringing and what we need. And that kind of like very basic putting on a show type stuff. And I didn't really know how to do that, but he just would start putting me on emails and I would respond, you know, if I got there before him. And so eventually I was able to sort of call myself a tour manager as well as an audio engineer. And once you call yourself something, if people believe you, they'll just hire you to keep doing that.
That's great career advice.
That's how we got Maggie here. They said she could run lights. I didn't believe her, but
I mean, I was right before this, I was on a call with the guy that runs a music direction company that also like staffs tours, and we were talking about music direction. He was like, okay, well, tell me about your experience music directing. And I had a couple of like small examples. I said, listen, it's kind of hard to just call yourself something. But that's just sort of what I do. You just say, hey, I'm a music director. I can music direct. And then if someone rolls the dice on you and you do a good job, then okay, great. Now you're a music director.
I mean, that's it. That's how the industry works.
That kind of bounces back to last week. I know you said that you're behind a week on our podcast there. Well, so I'll loop you in, but we were talking about what makes you a professional. And Jamie Erlian said that once you start paying insurance on your company and like your gear and stuff, that makes you a professional. He's like, that's what I started doing. But I said you just call yourself a professional, and you are, basically.
And you get paid.
There's
for
nobody
it.
That says congrats. You're a professional now.
Well, you said you get paid for it.
Yeah, and I said you just start getting paid for the thing that you're doing.
There's no like investigative force. There's no police force for like, wait a second, that guy's not a music director. He's just calling himself that. You don't get ticketed for confidence.
There's no accountability out there to what's a pro and what's not.
Which is also like when you're hiring freelancers, that's why you have to be very careful. But like, and I hire a lot of freelancers for my tours, and you know, so you look at the resume and you go, okay, and then you talk to them and you get a vibe from them and see if they'll be a good fit. But if someone just says, yeah, I'm a lighting director, it's like, okay, cool. What tours have you done? Oh, you know, I haven't really done that much. Like, okay, how much have you worked with MA? Oh, I mostly have like worked on like Ion. It's like, okay, well, I can't now hire you to run a tour on MA because you can't show me that you've done that. But if you don't ask that question, now you have an LD that maybe was just calling themselves an LD, which, as we said, is not illegal, but you know,
and just cramming MA into their head, just
which
trying to...
how are you gonna
yeah, do you need, are you fixing, dang it, I keep losing my train of thought. Anyway, I'll go with another question. So, like, what's your favorite part of this? Like, what makes you keep doing this?
I really like people.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know you guys. That makes you, because you've spent a lot of time with me, and you think maybe that that's not true, but it is
true.
Tell
us more.
So here's what I like. This kind of work only exists in a group setting. Like, there's no tour management without an artist, right? There's no band without the artist. There's no front of house engineer or LD or photographer. Like, and yeah, like, I've done tours where it's just me and the artist, but we're still working with, like, house teams every day to mix the shows or light the shows or, you know, take care of our hospitality needs or whatever, you know. So there's no, like, solo any part of this job, no matter what role you're in. If you're the tour manager or if you're the monitor engineer, like, you're working with other people all day. So if that sounds bad to you, like, there's no way around that. What I really like is being able to take creative people, like artists and lighting people and audio people and photographers, and help them achieve their highest creative values. So, like, you know, we get a sense of satisfaction as creatives when do we need to...
No, you're doing great.
That was my sound. It wasn't Whitney. Sorry, continue. Here, he's worried about the sound effect.
Oh,
but
it was my
computer. We can't control that now.
Yeah,
so
well, I can't hear that. So I just thought that maybe this wasn't a trail we should walk down together.
sorry. Continue, Kira.
No, so you know, like, if I can help a tech or an artist reach, like, their highest creative potential and kind of steer the ship that is the tour, and get to a show and the show goes really well and it looks great and it sounds great and the artist feels good, like, that, I get a lot out of that. I get more out of that than I do out of, like, a good sounding front of house mix, because although we're working together all day, like, when I'm mixing front of house, like, that's kind of me. And what I'm able to, yeah, like, I'm interacting with the band and what they're giving me, and that's the constraint that I'm dealing with is what I'm receiving. But the mix itself is, like, that's my accomplishment if I'm mixing. Mm. I can say, like, this is a good mix that I made. Whereas there's not really any of that in production management or tour management. There's just, I've helped these other people get to their highest self creatively, you know, for this show. And so I find that really satisfying because it feels bigger than just mixing. I love mixing. Mm-hmm. But it does feel more expansive and maybe connected to, like, the rest of my team and the rest of the audience whenever I can get a sense of, like, it's pride, like a sense of pride from saying, okay, I got everyone here. I put all these pieces together and took stresses away from people so that they could just focus on their creative skill. And now the show's happening and it's going well. And I just get to stand and watch a great show now.
Yeah. Mm. I wanted to go back, 'cause I just realized what my thought was from the last question. And which kind of led to this, because you said that you retired once from tour managing and you went back to school, correct?
Well, first I went to Scotland.
Which is really close to school.
They start with the same two letters and contain
two others. You just got lost.
Two others.
Signed up for the wrong box.
Yeah, so I tried to go to school and I landed in Scotland. So I moved back to Scotland for, like, a year and a half or so. And I did some shows. I did one tour while I was there.
Hold on.
Wait, you cut out a little bit.
Yeah, you cut out again. You did some what?
I did some touring when I was there. I did one tour with a band and I came back to the US to do some shows a couple times. But I wasn't really touring during that time. I was working in an Apple store and teaching English online to kids in China and Taiwan, which was fun, and just kind of hanging out with my grandma. Those were the main things I was kind of doing during that time. Then I came back to Lafayette and went back to school for business. And then there was a pandemic, and then I started touring again.
It's a long way around, just getting back into it.
Did you and Maggie know each other before you moved to Scotland?
We knew of each other, but we did not know each other well. Like, he ran a CYT show that I was working at Angel at that time, but that was like the most we had ever interacted, I think.
And so when you came back from Scotland, well, you were gone by that point.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Chicago, I think.
When did you move to Chicago?
2020.
2020.
No, I came back in 2019.
We were here at the same time for a bit, but like we weren't. Oh, like the first time that we started to know of each other more was whenever I started working at the ACA in a bigger capacity, and I needed to call Kieran a couple of times because he worked at the ACA. A bit.
No,
but also,
we knew each other a bit before that, though. Like we worked together at ACA a little bit in 2019, right?
Yeah, because I left and then the pandemic happened and you took over right after me.
Yeah.
So yeah, we knew of each other. We just hadn't worked together a lot until I honestly started working here, and then that's whenever we got to know each other. So yeah,
it's true. But
the circles never crossed for a while.
Oh, you were here. What were you, Kieran? Were you working here? You were working here when Maggie came in.
Yeah, I don't want to take full credit, but it was kind of my idea.
Was she your idea?
Well, Ethan was my idea.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
And then
I was wondering the other
Ethan
day,
said Maggie, between... and I said yes, that's a great idea.
Kieran was the first one that texted me and said, "Hey, would you be interested in this role at the Bayou?" Ethan had told me that either Kieran or Jeremy would reach out. You were having a child, so Kieran reached out to me.
Yeah, I wasn't having a child.
Or you were just dead.
My wife was having a child, or had
a child.
Yeah.
I had emailed you, but it was a wrong email. But Kieran texted me.
Thank Kieran.
You're
Kieran to get it together.
I mean, there were often times, I think, when I was working there that I was kind of secretly pulling strings that you didn't necessarily know about. But because we trusted each other eventually, and so I just thought I'm just going to act in Jeremy's best interest and kind of funnel Maggie towards the church because I think this is going to be good for everyone.
Well, and it was kind of a thing.
I appreciate
I was
that.
Like,
thank you.
I'm just literally just picking up. Kieran will do things and then he'll just like kind of toss them in the air and say my name, and then I would just follow because like it was here, the ACA. And then
CYT.
It was CYT because he hired me for CYT once I came back for SpongeBob. And then like it was just one thing after he left here and then I took his job here.
That's right.
So it was just like a thing.
Wow, Kieran. You've done a lot more than I thought you did.
I don't like to make a show of that kind of thing, but I do like to, when I leave a role, like put it in safe hands. And you know, I love Lafayette and the production community in Lafayette, but relatively the pickings are slim. So for people that would fit into those roles, it just so happened where Maggie was in her life and where I was in my life just like worked out. And, you know, it's like if people have gotten used to me in these roles, like Maggie will, you know, it'll be a great transition. And I think like for the most part, it has been at those three places.
Yeah, because me and Kieran have talked. We work very similar in a lot of ways, but different in a lot of ways. So if they have enjoyed Kieran or Kieran worked well for them, I will more than likely be able to do what was happening. Maybe not in as organized of a way as Kieran did, but I can get the job done.
I can get the job.
Well, I think we both, if we can name it, I think we both have a tendency to like start problem solving on the creative side rather than like the logistical side, and then once we have a creative solution, we build the logistics and the infrastructure around it. It just happens that like you live more in the creative world because you do more design work, and I live more in the logistics world just because of what I do.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
So. All right, great. I like it. There's just some missing context at the beginning of our conversation about like how we all know each other, and then I thought, I don't think I ever knew, like, the story.
I think I know Kieran more professionally than you do, because you really only know him from the Bayou, mostly.
We are professionals.
I said more. So there is still yours, but then there's more after yours.
Yeah.
And so I know Kieran a lot fuller rounded than just the Bayou. Whenever I think of Kieran, I honestly don't think of the Bayou as the first top of the thing. I'm sure you do.
I've only ever known Kieran at the Bayou.
That's what she said.
Whereas, like, the other day I said Kieran's sister Darcy, and they all went, "We knew Darcy before, like, before you knew of Darcy as Kieran's sister." And I was like, "Okay, everybody, hold on, because I don't. So I know Kieran outside of the Bayou. Sorry."
Yeah, I don't really know what to say to that, except
Kieran's, yeah. I thought Kieran was born at the Bayou.
That's a lot of people.
Born on the Bayou.
A lot of people do think that. I was actually born in the old ministry center.
In the
that's what if you go into what was 550. There's no carpet in there, but if there was, anyway.
You'd see.
Oh goodness, this is so good. Okay, I'm sorry. I distracted us from this very nicely structured process. I apologize. I hand it back over, Maggie. Take it away.
You want me to start my questions?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Question, Kieran, was, what's your least favorite part? Did it contribute to your first retirement?
I got another question.
Sure, Jeremy, go ahead.
Hey, what's it like working with your sister?
That is actually a really good question. And obviously not even remotely related to being my least favorite part of touring. There's no line to be drawn.
In case you listen to this, Darcy.
There's no connection there. It's been incredibly interesting and rewarding and challenging. And what I've... Because Darcy and I are similar in a lot of ways. The way that we look at problems are often similar. However, we work very differently. And I actually see a lot of myself, like where I was a few years ago, I see in her, which she's a few years younger than me, so that makes sense. And yeah, so I see like a path that she's on that I'm like, okay, I was on that path, but we're doing the same tour. So that's not to like discredit her in any way, or that she's got, you know, 5 years of work to get where I'm at, because that's not necessarily the case, because we're doing the same tour. We're not doing the same job, but we're doing the same tour. So, but yeah, like I see a lot of like the passion and energy that I had when I was 22, and like I'm still young, so I still have passion and energy, but I channel it differently than I used to. Jeremy knows a lot about the way that I used to channel my passion and energy. It was, you know, louder. It was more direct. It was less empathetic. And I'm saying this to describe myself, not to describe my sister. She's probably more emotionally mature than I was at 22. But I've kind of settled into a more quiet, just way of dealing with problems. And yeah, so it's been fun. We've, you know,
it sounded like you and Jeremy just went through a breakup at some point in your life.
And yeah, I just think we should be friends. I think we're better as friends. I don't want to risk our friendship, you know. Has anyone else ever been told that when someone doesn't want to go out with you anymore? No, just me a lot of times. Okay. Let me summarize touring with Darcy. I had a thought about it, and then it slipped away from me. What was I going to say? We're going to cut this part out, right, of me thinking?
Definitely not.
Yeah, for sure.
We don't edit.
Okay. It's run away from me. I can't get it back. I'm sorry.
It's probably the most funnest experience you've ever had in your entire life is what you were thinking.
Yeah, for sure. That's, you stole the words right out of my
funnest.
Mouth, including funnest, yeah.
Yeah. I know that's how you speak, so.
Yeah.
Just wanted to. And you would have spelt it like F-U-N-N-U-S-T. Funnest.
Funnest? Yeah, that's how you would have, did you say U-S-T?
Yeah.
Funnest?
Yeah. That's probably how you would have spelt that.
Okay. That's
all right.
Thank you for the insight into my own vocabulary.
You definitely would not have corrected that spelling either. Definitely not.
No.
Definitely. So yeah, what's your least favorite part, Kieran?
You know, I miss my dog a lot.
That Whitney's question. I said, Whitney, do you have any questions? And she said, "How do y'all keep y'all? How do y'all get y'all dogs watched while y'all are on tour?
Because y'all are perpetually on tour.
Yeah.
And I know the answer, but I figure I feel you should explain it because it is quite in depth. What has
sure,
to happen?
Sure. There are a few different scenarios we might find ourselves in. Okay. The first scenario is that I'm on tour and Darcy is at home. Which is great, because I'll just drop Fern off with Darcy, and then they have fun. The second scenario is quite the reverse, that I'm at home and she's on tour, so I'll take Piper, and great. Now, if we're both on tour, it kind of depends. Last year, what we would do quite a lot is, if we were both going to be out for more than a month, we would normally ask our mom to come to L.A. She lives in Scotland, but we'd ask her to come to L.A. We'd pay for her flight, obviously. We're good kids, and she would watch the dogs and get some sun, and she works remotely, so she can kind of do that from anywhere. So that's what we do. But also now I have a friend who also kind of helps me keep my life in order in LA when I'm away, so she is currently watching the dogs. She like helps me make sure that I don't get like bills in the mail that don't go unpaid for months, or like parking tickets. And
would you call this person Kieran's Kieran manager?
I mean, she's like, doesn't have like access to my accounts. She's my friend. So I hate to call her like a personal assistant, but that's kind of like the list of stuff that I ask her to do. And like, I pay her,
So we're not doing titles here, but if we were, she would be a Kieran manager.
Sure, yeah. It's not a full-time job.
Not a full-time.
Although it maybe should be.
Well, you're pretty put together. I feel like it speaks to you, you know, like speaks to the testament of Kieran, where he doesn't need a full-time Kieran manager, just a part-time.
The thing is, as organized as my professional life is as disorganized as my personal life is.
Amen.
So people think, you know, that because I keep really tight books on my tours and that I'm good at, you know, managing budgets, that maybe my personal like finances and like my credit score and are really good. And that's just not the case. I mean, I've gotten a lot better over the last few years, but moving country twice, you know, is expensive and difficult and not advisable if you can't pay cash to do that. So she helps me like make sure that when I land back in LA, I don't get like arrested and dragged to jail.
Nice.
That's basically
that's really good.
What I have her focus on is like keeping me legally like square.
Nice. You know, but you know you need that, Kieran, and that's good.
It's good to know yourself and know your limitations.
I have at least three wives to do that for me.
I can't feel that's a thing you can say out loud. That sentence didn't come together really nicely because I was just trying to figure out how to respond to what you said.
I don't know who those are. That's
some real Utah energy you're giving there. I don't.
Some real Utah energy. I like it. All right.
Do you have any? My next question. We have about like 10 to 15-ish minutes left. But do you have any like favorite tour stories that you want to share with us, or like least favorite, just crazy stories?
I mean,
or it doesn't necessarily have to be tour. It could just be what this life and this job has led you to.
Sure. I mean, I find myself in strange situations pretty often. A lot of them happen at customs and immigration. And not because I'm an immigrant myself. That's its own story. That's its own kind of entire podcast series by itself. But, you know, so like I was in Mexico a couple weeks ago. And the day before we left, I called one of the things I love about this job is that I just have like people that I can call to like fix things for me. So I have a person, she's a freelancer. She doesn't work for a company, but I have a person that anytime I need to freight something or bring gear in and out of a country, or like do any kind of movements like that, like move a bunch of lighting from one side of the country to the other, or ship a bunch of drums back from Singapore to LA. Like she just, I call her and I say, hey, I need this to be picked up on this date at this address and dropped off on this date at this address, and just send me an invoice. And she just does it. And it always goes perfectly. She is a genius. So I called her the day before we went to Mexico because I came onto this tour late. I didn't do a lot of the paperwork that, you know, you need to travel with gear. I didn't choose the vendors that were going to take care of that stuff for us. So I didn't have my normal person taking care of this paperwork. So I called her and I said, hey, you know, I'm worried, you know, I'm going to be stamping out my carne at this airport and stamping it at this airport. And I just am a little worried about a couple things I'm seeing on this document. And can you just kind of talk me through this? And do you know, have you had bands, you know, go through here before? And she goes, oh, do you have this? And she named some random document that I had never heard of and definitely didn't have. And I said, no, what is that? And she said, oh, you need that with your carne to go to Mexico or else it won't work. I said, you can't just go in with a carne is like a passport for your gear, by the way. That's kind of what that is.
Thank you for that's actually what
it says on the front. It says passport for your equipment or something. So she said, no, you need this other document. And, so she drew it up for me and sent it to me. And then we got to Mexico. They still looked through every single case, which I'd never have, you know, had happened before, where they're literally looking through every single case. And my Spanish is not great. My artist, JP Spanish, is better, a lot better than mine. So he starts chatting up the officers and he's like, yeah, I'm a musician. And he ends up showing them a music video of him with like a big Latin artist that they all knew. And then like the main boss guy and him are talking for a while, and JP pulls up Spotify and is playing some music that isn't his, and the guy walks away, and I was like, what were you guys talking about? Like, I got pieces of it, but I, you know. And he said, oh, his son is a musician and he wanted me to listen to the music, and said, if you listen to this, this will go a lot faster for you.
Wow. Wow.
Whoa.
So like we had all the right paperwork. We had all the right documentation. But when you get into this situation, it's like you're kind of in a side room with all this equipment and the rest of your crew is like outside. And JP's in there with me, but only really as a translator. But this happens a lot at these airports is you just don't. You have no control. And like as a tour manager, like I'm kind of used to being in control of situations, but I am at the mercy of whoever is going to stamp in the carne so that I can go and get everyone to the hotel. So he ended up. So then we put all of the customs officers on our guest list for the show the next night. I don't know if they came. I didn't see them, but that's the last kind of weird thing that happened to me. But that's the kind of thing that just like, especially because I tour in Asia quite a bit, and you know I'm going to Europe in April, and but even getting in and out of Canada, like just weird stuff happens. And what it makes me realize, because there's a specific way you're supposed to do this documentation every time it gets brought in and out of a country. There's like a specific formula a process they're supposed to follow, and every single country does it a little bit different. Which just leads me to believe that no one actually knows what they're doing in life, and we're all just kind of faking the confidence, because there's no one more confident in the world than a customs officer. They hold all the cards, and I've had at least six different customs officers say to me, no, this is exactly the way that every customs officer around the world has to do this. there is no other correct way. Any way that is not this way is incorrect, and they all do it differently.
That's scary and not comforting at all.
Yeah. It makes me quite anxious, honestly.
Well, if you ever travel with gear, just have a good tour manager, and, you know, you won't have to worry about that.
No, I'm not going to get a TM. I'm going to get a KM.
I just want to let you know that that's going to become a term that Jeremy's going to think as a professional term from now on. Just like the candle is going to become another one of those things.
You're going to accidentally call someone your KM on a show, on a shoot.
Yeah, and they're going to be like, what's that? I said, you're my Kieran manager. It's its own thing. I'm starting it.
Well, we're coming up on the end here. We appreciate your time. We do have one more question. I don't remember if you remember your standby moment last time, but it might have changed since then.
Probably.
Do you want to explain the standby moment?
No, you've been doing so good at this.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
So we have, what is your standby moment? We've explained it before. If you haven't, if you're a new listener, standby moment is just a moment where you've had to like stand by, really take in what's going on. It happens a lot in this industry just because, like you said earlier, it's a big team effort. A lot of people come together to make this thing happen. And sometimes you just need to stand by and take it in. Or it could have been a stressful situation where you're like, we need to stand by and figure this out.
Stand by.
Yeah, I don't remember what my answer was last time, but...
probably about me.
Yeah, definitely. actually, I think that actually triggered a memory of we spent a lot of time talking about, a particular conversation that we had as a group outside of like what used to be the sort of preschool entrance. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And I think we kind of talked about that and the community and that kind of stuff, but I have a different answer now.
Screw that one. Yeah.
I'm not interested in community and late night conversations anymore. No, I still really love that. But the thing that gives me chills pretty much every time is I love like the beginnings of shows. So like the beginning, like the intro, the first song is always this very thought out. It's like your first presentation to an audience. So it has to be a really impactful moment, intense. It's usually maybe something really quiet followed by something really loud. The lights are always like dialed right in, the video, the audio, like everything is kind of like, it's almost like the first climax of the show is like right there at the very beginning. And as I have in the last year or so stepped away from mixing a lot, I used to start every show out front of house, and now I start most of my shows backstage. And part of my job is walking the artist onto stage. So I normally have my flashlight out, and at a particular cue, I kind of point my flashlight where they're going to be walking, and they walk out onto stage. Everyone in the audience screams. And sometimes it's 200 people or sometimes it's, you know, 20,000 people. It just, but it's still like whenever they walk out and the light first hits them and the audience goes, this is what we came for. Like, this is why we're here. And, but not just the audience, like everyone in the room in that moment is going, this is what we came for. This is why we're here. And that feeling, combined with just everything being so dialed in and everyone being so focused in that moment, just always makes me a little, gives me chills or makes me a little emotional even. Thankfully, by that time I'm normally by myself because I've just sent the artist onto stage. So I'm just kind of there and I can have a moment by myself before I go back into production manager or tour manager mode just to kind of enjoy that big downbeat that happens at the start.
Nice. I love that answer.
Yep, I do too.
Definitely feel all those moments.
Well, Kieran, our time has come and our time has gone. It is time to end the podcast.
Wow, that went really fast.
It did.
It did. We were at 50 minutes.
Wow. Oh, so just from the time...
We're 5 minutes short of it.
We're just like all of that stuff at the beginning... We're just leaving all that's none of that's hitting the cutting room floor. We're just going straight ahead. We got to get this up and released. There's no time to waste.
Absolutely. Actually, yours will come out Monday, probably.
Yeah.
This will come out Monday.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Next Monday. This afternoon.
Not this afternoon. That quickly. Next Monday.
So you've got a whole week to.
Yeah. We'll probably have to. I know the audience hopefully won't be able to hear it. You're gonna have to send us your audio.
Yeah, don't overestimate.
Because we'll have to put in your audio.
Just
because
we have time doesn't mean we're gonna edit it, Karen.
I'll definitely have to. Somebody will have to edit this one because that computer monitor.
You don't want my MacBook audio. You want my kind of a lot of plosives and low end and this kind of stuff from this microphone. It'll be
you have that.
It'll
right?
be bad, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Are you gonna send that?
Yeah,
to
it's
us?
still recording as far as I can see, so I will send that to you.
Praise God.
Perfect.
All right, Kieran. Well, hey, listen. Seriously, we know you're a busy man, doing KM things, and we appreciate you. I love you. I miss you. And if I could, I'd give you a big old hug right now because I know you would love that. But seriously, thank you for your time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for sharing some of those fun stories and just giving us insight into your life. We think it's very interesting. And tell old Darcy girl that we said hello.
Okay, I will do that. I also push back on the idea that people think I don't like hugs because a lot of people think I don't like hugs, and I don't mind them. I just love
them.
When people ask first, which you do.
Yeah. Hey, gosh, that reminds me of what
I like when people
Christmas.
Ask first too, so I can say no.
It reminds me of we don't have time for the story, but
it's a good story.
I mean, you can go for it. We can go.
No, I don't even remember how it went. I just remember I wanted a hug from Kieran, and
you didn't ask for it. You just guilt tripped him.
Yeah, I just tried to guilt trip him into it.
That is one moment that I wish that I had
fired up.
We had recorded the audio because Kieran's response was the best thing I think I've ever heard of. It was art.
I don't.
It was like those moments where Kieran was like problem solving, so he was already in problem solving mode. So whenever Jeremy, like for the fifth time, said Kieran just doesn't want to hug me, he just turns to Jeremy and says, "And you, listen to me."
Yeah,
I don't remember like, this. Was this last? This last like, Christmas? Just,
look at his.
It was Christmas.
Face.
It was like just because you want a hug, and you're like telling me in your roundabout way that you want a hug, like that it ended with, if you just want a hug, Jeremy, just ask for one.
That's what I say to everyone that I work with, if I'm in a position to give them something, is if you don't ask for it, you're not going to get it.
That was good.
It was perfect.
We'll save that one for the next podcast.
Yeah.
All right, Karen, we love you, buddy. Hey, have fun, be careful, and we'll see you soon.
Love y'all.
Thanks, Karen. Bye.